thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. We're certainly thankful that you are tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our service a blessing to you today. The Way of Truth singers are opening the musical part of our service, singing for us, "Be Strong and Firmly Trust."
Be strong and valiant for the truth. Resist the tempter's luring power. Shun all the avenues of sin. Trust in God each day and hour. Be strong and firmly trust in God through every care. Be true and fearless stand, and with His grace and strength be blessed. The arm of strength to yield unto the tempting throng. For God is always strong and true to help and keep us from the wrong. Be strong and firmly trust in God through every. And with His grace and strength be blessed. He is our rock, our tower high, and to the meek He giveth grace. A shield He is to them that trust, a joy of those who seek His face. Strong and firmly trust in God through every care. Be true and fearless stand, and with His grace and strength be blessed. He will forsake you not, He says, but make you lie in pastures green. In paths of pleasantness He'll guide. Be strong and firmly trust in God through every care. Be true and fearless stand, and with His grace and strength be blessed.
Our Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We are thankful for the gospel, for the power of the gospel, and we're thankful that you have offered it to one and to all. So may the Holy Spirit accompany our broadcast today and make it a blessing to each and to everyone in our congregation. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing and over again to me wonderful words of God. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of God. Words of life and beauty teach me.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Narrow-Minded Believers. And our text of Scripture, Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves, and of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my soul, or for my transgressions, and for the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The Apostle Jude told us that we should contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. To do that, some may accuse you of legalism, and some seem to believe religion is supposed to be about accepting other people regardless of what they believe. When you insist that only one way is correct, then you are being narrow-minded. Narrow-minded means, in part, intolerant of others' views, having a biased mind, lacking tolerance. If you were buying a house, could the deed be worded just any way? Or would it need to be specific as to the boundary of the lot or the acreage that you're buying? If a mechanic told you a Ford carburetor would not work on a Dodge, is he being dogmatic? How does he know? Has he tried it? Or is he just being prejudiced against the Ford? When the electrician clearly says that a 20 amp fuel will not be enough to protect a circuit, isn't he being blunt, or just wanting to have his own way? Are these people being narrow-minded, or are they speaking from first-hand knowledge? Do we question what they say or accept it? When it comes to spiritual matters, does it make any difference as to what we believe, or must we be narrow-minded enough to accept the truth? Call it legalism or whatever you please. The truth is the only thing that will enable us to reach our goal of making heaven our home. Let's look at some examples of where God really meant what he said, and he always does, of course. Let's look at Moses. He had led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and he had taken his rod that he had as a shepherd with him into Egypt, and God said with it he would be able to do marvelous things. And so after they came out of Egypt, there in the wilderness, they came to a place where they needed water and there wasn't any available. So God tells Moses that he should strike that rock with his rod. And they did, and water came out. So we read in Exodus chapter 17, and then afterwards, we read in the book of Numbers that in chapter 20 that they were in somewhat the same circumstance, but this time God told Moses to speak to the rock, and Moses, aggravated at the people, struck the rock with his rod just like he had the first time, and God was gracious and water came out, but because of his disobedience to God, God told Moses, you will not be able to lead this people into the land of promise. Yes, that's what the Lord told him. You will not be, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. That's Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12. A minor thing? No. God did not consider it a minor thing at all. He said that they had dishonored him before the people, and there was a consequence for their disobedience. Now, God told Saul that they were to go up to Amalek. Whenever Moses and the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, the Amalekites attacked them and fought against them, and God had told Moses to write it in a book and keep it. And so the time came whenever God, through Samuel, told King Saul to go up to Amalek and to destroy that place. And Saul took an army and went up there, but he spared King Agag and he spared some of the finest of cattle, supposedly to come back and offer them as a sacrifice to God. But whenever he got back, he evaded Samuel, and Samuel went looking for him. And Saul said to Samuel, I have done the bleeding of the Lord. And Samuel said, if you have, then what's the meaning of this bleeding of sheep and the lowing of the cattle? Oh, he said, the people persuaded him to spare them and to bring them back as an offering. And you know what God told Samuel to tell Saul? Because you have disobeyed me, I have rejected you from being king over Israel. Now, God did not ask them to bring back some of the cattle. No, he told them to destroy them. But they disobeyed, supposedly with the pretense of offering a sacrifice to the Lord. But the Lord said sacrifices were not as important as their being obedient to him. Obedience is better than sacrifice, so the Lord said. And the same thing is true today. Whenever God tells us what to do, we need to do it. We must do it if we're going to please the Lord. And if people want to call you narrow-minded or bigoted, they'll just have to do it. If you're obeying God, doing what God tells you to do, you're doing what is right. Now, there was a time after the kingdom divided into two parts, that God sent a man of God from Judah into Israel to testify against the king there who had led the people to start worshiping idols. And the Lord told the man of God, now you go one way and come back another way. And do not eat anything, do not drink anything while you are in the borders of Israel. And the man of God went. He went in there where the king was. He testified against the altar. And the king stretched forth his hand to tell him to take the man of God. But his hand withered and froze stiff. And he changed his attitude, asked the man of God to pray for him. And the man of God did. And God healed him. And then the king wanted to reward him. And he said, no, I am not to eat anything. I am not to drink anything in the borders of Israel. And so he left there and started on his journey a separate way. There were two young men there. And they went home and told their aged father about what had happened. And he said, did you see the way the man of God went? Yes. And they told him. And he said, well, saddle my donkey. And he went after. And he found the man of God sitting by the road. And he said to the man of God, he said, you know, I am a prophet like you are. And an angel came to me and told me to have you to come back to my house for a meal. Now, that was a lie, of course, but the man of God believed what he said, and he went back to the old man's house there and had the meal. But the Lord told him that he would not be able to enter the border of Judah after that. So he left, started on his journey. A lion came out and slew the man. Didn't hurt the animal that he was riding, but he did slay the man. Why? Because he did not obey God. So God means what he says, and there are consequences for disobedience. Jesus said he was the door to the sheepfold. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 10:9. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. John 10:1. Now I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. And Jesus gave some straightforward teachings and doctrines which he intended for the people to believe and to live. And he said, if you try to climb up some other way than the way that I am, the way that I teach you, then you're the same as a thief and a robber. And we know that no thief or robber is going to enter into the kingdom of God. So God means what he says. Now, let me give you an example of legalism. The Pharisees, they added rules and regulations that had no Bible support at all. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? Matthew 15:1-3. They misapplied the law. They condemned the disciples for plucking ears of corn and eating on the Sabbath day, and accusing them of labor, of laboring on the Sabbath. But the law of hunger outweighed the law of not working on the Sabbath. David ate some of the showbread, which was for the priest only, and he was not condemned for doing so, because the law of hunger superseded that law. Jesus said, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew 15:7-9. And I'd like to, at this point in our broadcast, read some from certain religious organizations. The Mormon doctrine of God and the pre-existence. I'm quoting now. Is it not feasible to believe that female spirits were created in the image of a mother in heaven? That's from Joseph Smith, Answers to Gospel Questions. Beloved, spirits do not have physical features such as male and female. Spirits are spirit beings. They are not human beings. And there is no such thing as a mother in heaven. Jesus said in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like the angels. Now, another quote, to become like God, we must have all the powers of Godhood. Thus, a man and his wife, when glorified, will have spiritual children who eventually will go on the earth like this one that we are on. And if faithful, then they also will receive the fullness of exaltation and partake of the same blessing. We will become gods and have jurisdiction over worlds. And these worlds will be peopled by our own offspring, achieving a celestial marriage, page 132. Now, again, Jesus said in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Another quote, our Father in heaven was once a man, as we are now. In such a condition, he and our mother in heaven were empowered to give birth to spirit children whose potential was equal to that of their heavenly parents. We are those spirit children. Joseph Smith again, the Mormon prophet, said, the inhabitants of the moon. Yes, that's right. I'm quoting right now. The inhabitants of the moon are more of a uniform size than the inhabitants of the earth. Being about 6 feet in height, they dress very much like Quakers. Their style are quite general in style, or the fashion of dress. They live to be very old, coming generally near 1,000 years. And that's from a journal of Oliver Huddington, a contemporary of Joseph Smith, and it's copied at Utah State Historical Society. Now, in regard to the Catholic, celibacy of the priesthood was decreed by Pope Boniface VII in 1079, but Paul said to Timothy that a bishop must be the husband of one wife. And prayers for the dead and the sign of the cross both began in 310 A.D. The doctrine of purgatory was first established by Gregory the Great around the year 593, and the practice became a dogma of the faith in 1439. Now, a dogma is something that Catholics must believe as true. The kissing of the Pope's feet began in 709. The Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary was proclaimed by Pope Pius IX in 1854. She was born, according to that dogma, without the sin nature. The same Pope proclaimed the dogma of papal infallibility in 1870. Now, Jude said that the faith had been once delivered to the saints, and that we are to contend for it. We need to make sure We are not like the Pharisees who had hundreds of traditions while disobeying the weightier matters of the law. We need to keep all of God's commandments as carefully as we can understand them. And whether people want to call us bigoted, narrow-minded, or whatever it might be, as long as we are obeying the Word of God, we are doing God's will and we are pleasing Him. Father, we pray that You'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. We'd be happy to hear from you, to know that our broadcast is a blessing to you. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can listen to another broadcast or someone that you might have missed. You can also read our monthly magazine there. And you can join us in our services Sunday morning at 20 minutes before 11, Sunday evening at 6, Wednesday evening at 7. And now this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.